Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please listen or subscribe by going to newhopecommunitychurch.podomatic.com or listen on iTunes. Now, here's Pastor Michael with this week's message, Birds of a Feather Stay Together Forever, Husbands. The title of the message today is Birds of a Feather, and we're talking about husbands. Here are some statistics for you that are interesting. Children born in a home without a marriage is staggering. 70% of African American children will be born into a home where the parents aren't married or both aren't there. 20% of white children, according to James Dobson's Bringing Up Boys. Out of those born in a home with parents, 34% will see a divorce in the home that are left. The statistics for people who were rapists, murderers, thieves, criminals in jail, and look at those who had no father in the home, it comes down to the greatest factor, not having a dad. When Paul wrote this, it was revolutionary. The Romans believed and were taught that you should have a wife for children, a mistress for adventure, and a concubine for pleasure. Men in that culture would put their wives away, because that's what they were taught. Even the priests, the Jewish priests at the time, taught this. Then do whatever they wanted while the wife suffered. A wife in that culture was not allowed to do much while the husband culturally, not spiritually, could do what he wanted. For Paul to say, husbands, lay down your life for your wives, these are spiritual truths. A wife to live for her husband and a husband to die for his wife when we are selfish in nature is Men, we want the good-looking girlfriend, then we'll pay for dinner in hopes we'll get something out of it. God is saying something completely different as God wants us to lay down our lives for our woman. The new bride and groom leaving the church in the horse-drawn carriage to go on the honeymoon. They're starstruck. They're in love. So they don't see certain things. The horse is moving, but then gives the husband troubles as they're going, so he whips the horse once and says, that's one. Then they continue, and the horse bucks a little again, so he whips the horse and says, that's two. Then the horse bucks again, and he says, that's three, and he takes a shotgun and blows the horse. The horse looks at him and says, I can't believe you did. You must be a monster shooting at that horse like that. And I don't too. That's crazy. Then he looks at her and says, that's one. That's what it seems we get into as we marry people. We really don't know sometimes because of what we want. We both look at each other, and honestly, after the wedding, we begin to see it's really not about us. Wives want their husband in demonstration, not definition. It doesn't say, tell your wife you love. It says, show her love. It says in the verse, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The first realization, husbands, is it's a sacrificial love. We could read all the books in the world on marriage. We could listen to all the tapes and CDs and MP3s about marriage. Digital. We could go to all the great marriage seminars. We yielded our lives as husbands to the Holy Spirit daily around our wives. All that would be unnecessary. How did Christ love the church? He entered into the world, and he laid his life down for us. So what sacrificial love is to a wife is you enter into her world and you die there. My wife's in a different world than I do. My wife is planning from minute to minute, as a mother should, because children, when left alone, will find a way to somehow injure or kill themselves. So I am thinking ahead as she's planning everything minute by minute. You know, I come home from being a pastor all day, laying down my life for so many people, then having to enter the world of little things as I live in the world of big things daily. Actually, that's a lot of lies. I have to step into my wife's world when she gets home, which I'm not always successful at. You ruin a life if you expect to take care of her to take care of you when you had a bad day. I want the dinner ready, the child quiet, the dogs relaxing, the TV remote ready for me as I sit down in the entertainment chair ready to veg because I had a hard day. I want my mother-in-law not to walk in front of the TV while I'm watching it. I want the kid bathed, in pajamas, homework done and off to bed, dishes done and in the washer, and when she's completely dead, we will go be romantic and then I will go to sleep. It takes God's Holy Spirit for me to want to clean up after dinner. It takes God's Holy Spirit for me to want to listen to her after I've had a difficult day and I need to enter into her world. The way God made her and the way God made me is I need to be, as a husband, sacrificial for her. She needs that. Christ gave himself. Not he gave her a new purse, or a car, or a new outfit, or some new LuLaRoe strip, you know, those LuLaRoe pants, or jewelry. My wife appreciates all those things, but the most important thing is he gave himself. Because a man can pick flowers out of the yard, and what is the wife's reaction? A man can stop on the street to pick some up. What is the wife's reaction? Or he can take time to call some in, go pick them up, bring them home, which takes the most thought. Wife's reaction. The third one, she knows you sacrifice the time to do something. Something of him is involved in it. Verse 26, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water, through the word. Jesus made us holy and loves us unconditional to make us holy. He sees us with no flaw, which is unconditional love. Right and wrong can become the highest issues in a conflict to us men. But we as husbands, as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, may hear, you are right, husband, but you're not acting like Jesus. You're acting more demonic than Christ-like. It's not based on the horizontal, but the vertical. The continual washing of the word, which means we need to be continually unconditional. We need to wash her rhema. You know the husband is the head of the household, and he knows the right scripture to pull out that will minister to her in her need. Her spiritual warfare is different than his, and we are to lead our wives to Jesus and wash her in the word. In judgment, where did you lead her? Marriage is not for our fulfillment. Things will be happy and easy. Marriage is to conform us to the image of his son, whether you are married, you have a wife to chip away, and vice versa. It's our responsibility to lead the wife scripturally, husbands. Verse 27. And to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. The ultimate cause of Christ is to present the church to himself. This is the only wife that I'm going to get. If I were to get one car, one house, one thing to have for the rest of my life, how should I treat it? Maintenance would be vital as we took care of it. The story of redemption all through the Bible, if you read, has to do with the Jewish marriage, has to do with God taking a bride out of this world for his son. If there was no bride, there'd be no Bible, there'd be no purpose, no reason, nothing. This is an eternal romance, and the object of his desire, the sacrifice of his life, is simply about that bride. Jesus told us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we as husbands should never say, one more time, and I'm out of here. We should never say that. We should never be like, well, if you keep doing that, I'm going to divorce you. If you keep saying that, I'm going to leave you. Imagine if Jesus said that to us. He constantly reassures us, and our wives need that. My wife occasionally will say to me, honey, do you love me? I think in my head, I thought it was implied. Or I did marry you and have a, you know, did everything, you know, in love that's continual. But they need that constant reassurance. Verse 28. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. The church is Christ's body, and men don't get up and hate their bodies. They don't wake up and yell at themselves about how they look or smell, and everything they need as they're looking at the mirror in the morning. Because we feed our bodies when our stomach is grumbling, when our wives are grumbling about something, we need to feed them. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and take care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Jesus left heaven, which is a ridiculous thought to me. He left and he lived among us. Also, parents, when your children leave, then wives or husbands shouldn't be running back to the parents after your child had a fight with a spouse. You leave mother and father in terms of priority and should not be running back at every tiff. When a guy is mean to my wife, which has happened, lately a guy's been touching my wife, I don't care if he can hurt me badly. I still have a huge problem with it. There's trouble when it comes down to that. When my daughters talk to my mom, to their mom in a bad way, she needs to know that's my wife. And even though I love my daughter deeply, my wife comes before her, and she can't grasp that, but she does need to understand it. The average divorce rates are soaring today between the ages of 45 and 55 when the children move out and make their, you know, because the fact that the mom or the dad are making their a priority. So in closing, wives and husbands, there are three simple rules. Number one, both of you pray to be daily filled with the Spirit and live for Jesus. Number two, wives, through the power of the Spirit, submit to the good Christian man who is trying to do his best. 3. Husbands, live sacrificial lives for your wives. Go into their world and die there like Jesus did, and it can resurrect your marriage. We need to be filled daily with the Spirit and walking in subjection to what he desires in our marriages. Jesus is the head, the husband next, then the wife, then the children. This can only be done through the Spirit and being filled daily with him. As we complete this today, I'd like to pray. I want to pray for couples who are struggling in their marriages, couples who may be struggling with these messages today, This is how God created marriage. And like I said in the first message, it's not a matter of the fact that the husband is over the wife. You know, some wife might be like, well, you know, I'm a feminist and I don't agree with that. Okay, well, the whole thing is about submission to God. That the God will give the husband will speak to the husband. The husband will speak to the wife, and the wife and the husband will both be in agreement because they're submitted to God. That if one of them is not in submission to God, then there's going to be problems. I've heard this happen many years. There was one missionary I was friends with, and he was being told by God he was going to go to India. And his wife was dead set against it. But God kept telling them that he was going to go to India. And he said to his wife, he said, well, just pray. Please pray. So his wife began to pray. And his wife began to pray. She began to come into agreement with the husband that that's what they were supposed to do. These two are extremely fulfilled in their missionary journey together as a husband and wife as they went to India. You know, that's how God works. If it's a marriage, that God will sometimes tell the husband, this is what I want you both to do. And the wife will be in disagreement, or vice versa. But they come into agreement together and they work together, and it's the best thing for them. The reasons why marriages tend to break up, the reasons why marriages tend to go astray and to work away is because of the fact that one of the spouses, the husband or the wife, is not in agreement with what God is doing. So they wind up leaving. And a lot of times they leave due to the fact that they're rather do what they want to do. And the funny part is they may be praying thinking that this is what God wants, when they're not looking at the Word of God, and the Word of God says that it's not what they want. It's not what God has called them to. But they believe it's from God for some strange reason, when it's from culture and it's from their own selfish desires. We need to be praying for marriage. Marriage and family are the number one things that are attacked by the enemy. If the devil and the enemy can destroy a marriage, then he can destroy the church. He can destroy what God has planned and what God has designed. It is not a good thing. Let's pray. Father, I lift up all our married couples today, the ones who are struggling, the ones who aren't struggling, Lord, the ones who will struggle in the future. I ask, Father, that you would be with our wives today, that you would help them to live the role that Christ has made them. That, Lord, you would be with our husbands, and that they would live in the position that Christ made them, that they would both function together under God. And as they function together under God, that you would take them on the most amazing journeys, that you would strengthen their marriages and their intimacy with one another. And, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way. And, Father, in that I thank you for these great messages on marriage, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you enjoyed this message, then please visit our podcast by going to newhopecommunitychurch.podomatic.com or like us and subscribe on iTunes. Thank you very much, everyone. Have an awesome day and an awesome marriage, and that your week may be filled with great blessing. And don't forget, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.